Good morning. You are listening to The Beacon. Good morning, friends. Good morning, family, and foes to you, too. How are you?
Am I a friend, a family, or a foe?
You know, all three, depending on the minute, I suppose. Nah, you're never a foe. Never a foe.
Good morning to you, and good morning to our listeners.
Good morning to everybody. Everybody. What's up? A little musical interlude for your Saturday morning.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're so very welcome. Very welcome. I aim to please, my friend. I aim to please.
Yeah, I was listening to some new kind of music.
Yes, you were. Care to share?
No, not really.
Okay.
In fact, I can. It's hip-hop music.
So nice.
Need I say anymore? Not that I haven't listened to it before, but this is like a new brand that I discovered.
Is this like 90s era hip-hop? Like, are you like digging into the past, or is this current?
No, it's current.
All right. And I can get with that.
And I was shocked.
Really?
It's addictive now. I'm addicted to it.
Wow. See, and when you say shocked, like, that's not a term. You don't get rocked easily. Like, you don't get shook all that, as my daughter would say. I'm shook. Like, you don't get shook that easily. So when you actually say that this shocked you, you and I are going to have a dialogue about that, and you're going to have to give me the lowdown. Give me the tea.
Yeah.
I'm talking like 12-year-old today.
Okay. So
all the 12-year-olds are saying, give me the tea. I'm shooketh. All
that
good
stuff.
Did they
say, where's the bag? Or should I know?
Probably. Actually, that kind of sounds familiar.
Is that familiar?
I don't really know the reference to that specifically, though.
Neither do I. So
all right.
I have to ask somebody.
Well, ask my daughter. I'm sure she will give you the lowdown. And give you the tea.
I think you'll be shocked when you hear
her
answer.
I think I'll be shook.
Yeah.
I think that's the proper vernacular that we're working with.
Now, of course, this is the last show of October.
Stop it already.
Rocktober.
I can't do this with you anymore.
Why not?
Because it's already the end of October.
Yeah.
What happened?
Time flies.
I can't even.
Election is coming up.
Midterms, baby. Get out and vote.
Yeah, don't forget about that, folks.
Don't forget to vote.
There's some nice things that are going on.
Please do share.
Well, of course, it revolves around the lighthouse. You're a hockey fan, aren't you?
I am not.
You are
but
not?
But thanks for asking. I've only known you for 10 years, so I don't expect you to know a whole lot about me. But no, hockey is not in my wheelhouse. I grew up in California. Like, we just don't do hockey. I grew up in Northern California, and although we do have the San Jose Sharks, like, we're not a wintry state, so hockey just isn't really on our radar. I don't know one single person growing up who grew up playing. Like, out here, every young child plays hockey, right? Like, everybody's on a hockey team. We do not have that culture on California at all. So, nope, not a hockey fan.
I didn't realize that. We did a story not too long ago about people who are blind playing hockey.
I love that.
And
I do love that.
Coming up on November 18th, since we're headed that way, November wise, the Blackhawks will take on the Minnesota Wild. I love that name, Minnesota Wild.
I do too. It's a good
and,
name.
And that'll be a benefit for the Chicago Lighthouse. Tickets are $91. And of course, you know, it's at the Madhouse, the new Madhouse, United Center, 1901 West Madison Street. For more information or to buy tickets, please call Lion Chris Coleman, 708-785-5726.
See, I would be a hockey fan for that cause.
Okay.
I would for sure support something like that. That's cool. I like that they're doing it. I like that they're going out of their way to support the Lighthouse.
Well, I've never been to a live hockey game, but
you
I
haven't?
Always no, but I always watch it on television.
Ah ha ha!
Mm-hmm.
My ex-husband had season tickets to the Blackhawks, so every once in a while he would take me to a game. Actually, I think maybe one. I think I went to one game, and then TJ was born, and somebody had to stay home with the kids, so that was me. But he was a big hockey fan.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of hockey, a little bit of Blackhawk experience. But you should get to a live game, B. Like, it's much more, anything is much more exciting live, right? Like, when you're actually there in the midst of it.
Well, I'm such a big guy, but I have trouble with the seating. The seats are so small and uncomfortable.
Are. Yeah.
With all the stadiums, except I think Wrigley Field, but I don't know if they've, I think they've replaced the seats since the last time I've been there, but.
I would hope so. That seems like it would be kind of a standard modification to make in stadiums that have been refurbished in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well, I think they want to pack us in like sardines.
They do.
Get more people in there.
And ooh, airplanes do that too now.
Sell more condiments and all of those things.
All the stuff. Sell more of all the things. Well, it sounds like a great cause. Definitely check it out if you've got nothing else going on November 18th. That's Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Thanksgiving's what, the 15th? 16th, so that would be the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, I'm impressed.
Is that right? I don't know. I mean, I think. I'm not like with what I've got like 86% certainty here, so don't quote me on it, but
okay.
I think.
I was wondering about that because I was thinking, wow, she knows the date of when Thanksgiving is. I thought it was always on the 25th.
No, that's Christmas. Christmas is always on the 25th of December.
Or the 24th.
No, Thanksgiving's always the third Thursday of the month.
Oh.
The third or the fourth.
So that date changes.
The date changes, yeah.
Okay.
So now you know. The more you know, my friend.
All right. Well, I'll tell you.
Between the two of us, we will get through this life.
We will figure it out
we'll
at some point.
Out.
And but what's easy to know is that today's show is going to be a good one because we're going to talk about the Lighthouse's Sandy and Rick Forsyth Center for Comprehensive Vision Care with Dr. Kara Crumbliss. She's the Vice President of Clinical Services at the Lighthouse.
She's been here for a while, hasn't she?
Yes, she has.
And she's been here for almost as long as we've been doing the show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just wonderful. She's got a lot of good information and very knowledgeable in what she does and is just a very lovely person all around.
And she's been on the show several times, so we like her.
We do.
We do.
She's a favorite. She's a favorite guest.
And the usual suspects. I wonder if we're ever going to have to pay royalties for using that.
Let's hope not.
But you know, that's the name of a movie.
It is, but I think but it's a name of the movie because it's a common term, right? I mean, like, that's a term that law enforcement uses is the usual suspects.
Yeah, well, you know how greedy people are.
I do
days,
know
so they
this.
Might try. We've got what's highly recommended and the awe factor.
Yes, we do. Brand new awe factor this week, friends.
And then we have Luke's Laboratory.
Cool.
All of those things.
All the things are
wrapped
here.
Wrapped up in a nice, neat little bundle.
Right. Shiny bow.
On the beak. Another thing that I heard this week, I'm not going to mention it. It's not a competing show, but another radio show. And it seems like all they do is just mention the name of the show. So I don't know. Maybe we have been lax in that area. So we'll just keep reminding
the Beacon.
Folks,
the Beacon.
The Beacon.
Beacon. You're listening to The Beacon.
That's right.
The Beacon. Okay. Like that, because that's not annoying, but we can do it. We can keep up.
And I remember who the name of the show is, but I'm not going to say it.
See? But obviously it's effective. Their strategy is effective, right?
All right. So that's maybe why we should adopt it.
All right, I'm on board.
All right.
I can get with that, my friend.
We're going to take a break and come back on the other side of it. We'll have Dr. Kara Crumbliss with us. And you're listening to The Beacon.
The Beacon.
The Beacon. The Beacon right here on WCPT 820 AM.
Simplify your life by opening a My Social Security account. What's My Social Security? It's a secure online account that allows you immediate access to your personal Social Security information. During your working years, you can use My Social Security to view your Social Security statement, to check your earnings record and see estimates of the future retirement, disability, and survivor benefits you and your family may receive. If you receive benefits, you can get a benefit verification, check your benefit and payment information, change your address and phone number, and even change your direct deposit information. Open a My Social Security account today and simplify your life. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/myaccount. While you're online, check out all the other things you can do at www.socialsecurity.gov.
Well, you know, folks, in an effort to better serve our patients seeking vision care, the Lighthouse has added doctors and services to its clinics in Chicago and Glenview and expanded office hours. And Dr. Kara Crumbliss, Vice President of Clinical Services at the Lighthouse, is here to tell us about it. Welcome back. You've been here many times.
I have. Yeah, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Now, the Lighthouse is Sandy and Rick Forsythe Center for Comprehensive Vision Care. It's widely regarded as among the best in the nation, and it takes a multidisciplinary approach to vision care. What exactly does that mean, multidisciplinary?
So multidisciplinary means that you're not just seeing an eye doctor when you come to our clinics. Low vision rehabilitation examination is done by one of our optometrists that are residency trained in low vision, but then they work to coordinate a coordinated rehabilitation plan. So if you're suffering from vision loss and you come in and you just see the eye doctor and we send you home, it tends to not be as an uplifting an experience or as effective an experience. So multidisciplinary means we partner with adaptive technology, psychology, as well as occupational therapy to make sure we take a holistic approach to helping you perform your activities of daily living, address any depression or anxiety over your vision loss, as well as exploring all the new technology, including maybe things that your phone, your smartphone, can do for you that you weren't even aware it could, or things on the computer that you can do to make the computer more accessible that maybe you didn't know you could do. So that's our multidisciplinary team, and we're really proud of it and all our efforts together.
So what services have been added?
So what services have been added is we've always had this multidisciplinary approach, but unfortunately, we didn't have enough low vision optometrists to meet the needs of our patients. And so our wait time was pretty significant. We've added 3 low vision optometrists to our staff this year, Dr. Kelly Scher, Dr. Erica Troyer, and Dr. Grant Miller, all who are residency trained in low vision and are available to see patients now at our Glenview location, at our main facility, and at our satellite locations. And in doing so, we've been now able to offer services at our main location on Roosevelt Road, as well as at the Glenview location, 5 days a week, which we have never had before. So now you can call and request an appointment Monday to Friday with our office hours by calling 312-997-3686 in order to get that low vision rehabilitation appointment scheduled with one of our doctors.
Now, is it a thing where you have to have a referral, or can you just come in with your insurance?
So that's a really good question. We encourage patients to have sought eye care and to have an eye care professional who suggests they come for low vision rehabilitation. If your eye doctor hasn't suggested you come for low vision rehabilitation, we encourage you to have that discussion with your doctor about whether it's an appropriate resource for you. But we certainly have many patients who know they have vision loss and maybe haven't followed up with that eye doctor recently. And that's our new expanded service opportunity and offering is we have patients who call and want to come and see us, but we need to know what's going on in the eyes diagnostically first. What eye disease does a person have? And not all our patients know that. And so if you call and you don't know what's wrong with your eyes, but you know you're having some difficulty, we now have general eye care service offerings. Dr. Reif joined our Glenview staff. He's a retired ophthalmologist, and he is available to provide general eye examinations and diagnostics to allow you to understand what's causing the vision loss and make appropriate referrals, not only to us, but also to appropriate specialty ophthalmologists if those are indicated, maybe a retinal specialist, a glaucoma specialist, or a corneal or cataract specialist.
Now, is there a difference between a person who just may need glasses and then a person who needs rehabilitation? I'm guessing there is. Yeah, so the question would be, what is considered a visual disability?
So that's a really good question. A visual disability is defined as someone whose vision cannot be corrected by standard glasses, which we call sometimes spectacles, medicine, or surgical intervention. So that's once somebody has seen a doctor and the doctor has said effectively, I can't offer you something that's going to bring back your vision, and it certainly isn't a pair of glasses. That's what defines someone as having a vision impairment, a permanent vision impairment. So our patients that are appropriate for low vision do have permanent vision loss, permanent vision impairment. And sometimes patients do need a pair of glasses. And you're right, someone might need a pair of glasses glasses and not know. And so that's where Dr. Reef can offer those general eye care services. And Dr. Scher is also offering general eye care services at the main lighthouse in order to identify patients who just need a pair of glasses that we can then provide, and or identify patients who need further rehabilitation efforts as well as further medical management, and we can coordinate those referrals for them.
So, added services, expanded office hours, the clinics in Chicago and Glenview have those. And are there still satellite offices, aren't there?
Yes, we have satellite offices currently operating at Elk Grove Village, at Alexian Brothers Hospital, as well as at Northwestern downtown, at the hospital there, as well as at the Ingalls Center for Outpatient Rehabilitation in Flossmoor.
All right. Well, that is Dr. Kara Crumbliss, Vice President of Clinical Services at the Lighthouse, the Sandy and Rick Forsyth Center for Comprehensive Vision Care. Thanks for coming in and talking to us and giving us an update. And hopefully it won't be so long before you come back.
Thank you for having me. I'll look forward to being back.
All right. This is The Beacon.
Okay. So just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Beacon, folks. The Beacon. Don't forget that.
The Beacon. Counting is hard on The Beacon.
That's right. 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here at WCPT. And of course, what's coming up next is highly recommended. But you know something else that is equally recommended, particularly for kids?
Halloween.
Yes, but even further out than that, starting November 3rd, musical therapy for children with visual impairments.
Love it.
Yeah, these classes are held on Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. And it's at the Chicago Lighthouse Vision Rehabilitation Center. So it's music therapy, promotes language, social interaction, and exposes children to fun songs and musical instruments. And the sessions will be taught by a board-certified music therapist.
That's phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
Is that going to be at the Chicago Lighthouse or the Glenview branch? Do we know? Do we have that information offhand?
I think it's, hold on a second, let me consult the Chris Weber site. It's Lighthouse North.
So, Glenview.
November 3rd, 2018. Of course, you want to contact Shelley Hamer. She's the manager of Children Youth Enrichment Programs at 847-510-2055. And it's for ages 6 months to 6 years.
Aww, boo-boos.
And it's $8 a session. And siblings are $4 a session.
So it's starting November 3rd and it's ongoing every Saturday? Or is there a specific session set? Or do we not have that breadth and depth of information at our fingertips?
Our what of?
The breadth and depth. The breadth, isn't that the thing? The breadth and depth.
Well, it looks like here it says November 3rd, comma, December 8th, recital / holiday treat. So I think, yes, it is a series from November 3rd to the 8th.
I love it.
Shelley Hamer can answer those questions.
Perfect.
At 847-510-2055.
Cool.
She'll be able to do that.
She'll know a lot more than we do, friends. And we don't know very much in life.
No. So that's why we need folks like Sandy and Brett to recommend various things to us, movies, television, books, all those kinds of things. And they're coming up right now.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to It's Highly Recommended, where we review plays, movies, a little bit of everything. I am Sandy Murillo.
I am Brett Shishkoff. I actually just went to a play on Wednesday Hello, Dolly. Mm-hmm. A lot of people might know about the musical. It's a very, very fun, exciting play. It's about Dolly Levi. She's kind of like a matchmaker, do-it-all type of lady. Mm-hmm. She's trying to set up a gentleman with, like, kind of an heiress to... it's kind of like he does, like, grains and hay. That's what he sells in Yonkers. So okay. It's based in Yonkers, New York, and it's in the 1880s. Somewhere in that ballpark is the time period. And so they end up having most of the story is told in actually New York City. Mm-hmm. And so she's trying to set up an artist with this heiress of this kind of fortune. It's not like a crazy a lot of money. It's $500,000, but at that time, that's a good amount of money.
Of course, yeah.
And then she's actually trying to set herself up with the guy who owns this company. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of craziness happens, and it's a musical, so it's lots of upbeat music, similar to like Roger Hammerstein. Mm. There's one song that kind of reminded me a little bit of like Chicago-esque type style. Most of you probably would enjoy this show. It's like I said, it's just lots of fun. Can't help but be smiling, laughing almost the entire time through. It's not one of those that's going to make you think real deep about a show afterwards, but it is if you just want to sit back, relax, and just enjoy some good music and... want to put a smile on your face, Hello Dolly is definitely a show to check out. I had a new person from Broadway in Chicago, Lydia. She helped to make sure that we got to our seats okay when I got to the theaters. I actually, on their website, it states that they aren't able to take anyone to their seats. But Lydia kind of explained to me that if you let them know ahead of time that you might be taking paratransit or Uber or something like that, they can actually stand and wait for you outside if you give them like heads up of what time you're planning on being there. And then they can walk you, get you to your tickets and then to your seat.
Oh, that's good to know. So there might be some people that might, you know, require that service or might just be more comfortable with getting some extra assistance if they're not familiar with the theater or, you know, so that's great.
I do want to say before I move on to yours is they actually have the audio describe performance for Hello Dolly at the Oriental Theater. Mm-hmm. That'll be November 4th. It's a Sunday. Okay. And it's their 2 p.m. showing. So okay. It's their matinee. Mm-hmm. And so there's audio description for that. But you went and saw a pretty fun movie, kind of dealing with my buddy Poet.
I actually did. So, yeah. It's, you know, it was produced at and by Poet's alma mater, Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Yes, indeed.
And the movie is called Pick of the Litter. So it's a documentary. Mm-hmm. It's all about guide dogs and puppies. And so I actually saw this. It's available on... it was recorded about... It was released, I should say, about 2 months ago.
Okay.
I played not in every theater, but in several theaters throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to watch it on iTunes this weekend. And so Pick of the Litter... It actually tells the story of a litter of 5 puppies,
mm-hmm.
Patriot, Potomac, Phil, Primrose, and Poppet. These are all the puppies that were born at Guide Dogs for the Blind in San Rafael, California.
Okay.
And it basically goes through the puppy raising process, you mm-hmm. know, which, as you know, Brett, is very important for a future guide dog to be raised and trained, you know, by these wonderful volunteer.
Yes, for
puppy
sure.
Puppy raisers. You know, I've heard about puppy raisers and the important role that they play in the lives of future guide dogs. But until I saw this movie, I had never really stopped to think about, you know, how valuable and how important this training is. There was 5 puppies. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to give any, you know, details. But while not all puppies end up as guide dogs, you know, the puppy raisers, I'm sure, feel a sense of pride knowing that they, you know, all of the dogs will be doing something, whether that be a future career, whether that be, you know, a breeder,
mm-hmm.
whether yep. that be a guide dog. And, you know, some of these dogs, that's what they ended up doing eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I like about the film, again, is that it walks us through the process of right when the puppies are born to mm-hmm. when they're actually matched with someone who is blind.
Okay.
And again, it's available on popular streaming sites like iTunes, Amazon, I believe Netflix, and it also includes audio description.
Very nice.
So this is a movie that I highly recommend for, you know, everyone, people of all ages. I mean, who doesn't love watching, you know, cute puppies and you know, it's an educational film. It's I just loved it, Brett. I highly recommend it.
My name is Brett Shishkoff.
I am Sandy Murillo.
And you've been listening to It's Highly Recommended on The Beacon.
I'm Dr. Linda Van Eldick, a biomedical scientist supported by the American Health Assistance Foundation. I'm dedicated to educating the public because it's important for all of us to understand this debilitating disease. I conduct research aimed at discovering new and effective treatments for Alzheimer's disease. This is critical because every 70 seconds, someone in America is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That's more than 1,000 people a day. Preliminary data show that exercise, a healthy diet, and keeping your mind active may help reduce your risk. At our website, ahaf.org, experts will answer your questions and address your concerns. Find out about promising research the foundation funds and learn how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for a free brochure on understanding Alzheimer's disease. That's 1-800-437-2423.
Welcome back to The Beacon.
The Beacon.
You're listening to The Beacon.
The Beacon.
Brian Hawkins, Lainey Kleeman. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Good, good, good.
You know, I don't know if I should mention this or not.
Oh, well, you have to now.
Okay. You've twisted my arm.
I have. I'm very strong that way.
The reason I didn't want to mention it was because it's morning, and I'm assuming that folks are having breakfast.
Uh-oh.
And unfortunately, it's been discovered earlier in the week that some breakfast foods have tested positive for trace amounts of weed killer. Ouch.
That's not a surprise. Weed killer is in everything.
Yeah.
Anything that's not, or any of the produce that you buy, the weed killer is on all the things.
Yeah, so it says, the report from CNN says dozens of common breakfast cereals and snack bars have trace amounts of a herbicide called Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
And it was found that 26 of the 28 products that the Environmental Working Group tested had, I don't know how to pronounce this, is it glyphosate?
Sure.
Or something like that. That's close enough. Higher than
glycosate. Now I'm making words up. Go ahead. Keep going with it. Just act like you know what you're talking about. Say anything with confidence. They'll believe you.
That's what I was told in school.
Yep.
Too. Higher than what the EWG scientists consider protective of children's health. And then they go on to say that's products like Honey Nut Cheerios and Quaker Simply Granola Oats have those high levels and might pose a cancer risk for long-term consumption. So,
go organic, friends.
Yeah.
I've gone organic a long time ago, and I know that, you know, I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist when it comes to these types of things, but I believe there's some truth to it, and I'd rather be safe than sorry, quite personally.
Yeah, so just be careful. And, you know, whenever you can, check the labels and find out what what's in the food that you're eating.
And the fewer the ingredients, the better.
Yeah.
The more whole foods, the less processed foods, obviously. I mean, this is a whole thing that I used to do on this show, right? Let us turn up the beat. But whole foods are the way to go. The more processed it is, the worse it is for you.
And I was told that if you, it's kind of hard to do, but I was told that if you look to purchase any type of food, packaged food, if the list of ingredients is a paragraph long, don't buy it.
Exactly. Because it's not food. It's a food-type product is what it's called. So they make it in a lab. It doesn't come from the earth. It doesn't come from any sort of whole food, you know, baseline. It's just put together in a lab. And then you get a paragraph of ingredients, and none of it is food except maybe like water and high fructose corn syrup. That might be the only, you know, beyond that, it's words we can't pronounce. I mean, case in point, 2 minutes ago, right? Like, there's things that we should not be putting in our body. So thank you for that PSA.
It's a little health information there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you.
And now that we've ruined everyone's breakfast.
Yay, good for us. Listen to the beacon.
Let's bring them back with a heartwarming story, something from the files that you, Ms. Kleeman, have picked out. We call it the awe factor.
Thank you, B. This week, there was an incident where a young boy was bullying another young boy, and the dad handled it in a very interesting and inventive way, and I think we can all learn a nice lesson from this particular dad. When the father heard that his son was being bullied at school, he took a more compassionate approach to confronting the problem. At first, Aubrey Fontenot was angry to hear that his 8-year-old son Jordan was being picked on at school by another boy named Tamarian. But instead of fighting fire with fire, as most parents of, you know, kids being bullied do, he decided to invite the boy out for some one-on-one time together. So the father of the bullied kid is inviting the bully out to spend the day together. With permission from Tamarian's family, Tamarian being the bully, Aubrey picked the boy up in his car, and they just drove around Houston, Texas. They sat in the car. Aubrey gently asked Tamarian about why he was bullying Jordan. Tamarian responded that it was because other kids were bullying him at school for not having clean clothes. So kids were bullying the bully, and in response, the bully was then bullying Jordan. So Aubrey called the boy's mother and found out that the family was homeless and having trouble finding financial stability, hence the dirty clothes. So without hesitation, Aubrey took Tamarian out shopping for new clothes as if he was buying for his own son. Afterwards, the two spent the day, you know, spent the day in the car laughing and singing along to the radio. And Aubrey said, you know, we have no clue what these children are going through these days because a lot of us just don't care. And this is not an uncommon story for a lot of people. So he spent his day yesterday, or at the time of this publishing, spent the day shopping and teaching this young man about self-respect, integrity, morals, confidence, and other things that consist of going from a troubled youth to a great man. So, man, Aubrey just like stepped up and really took care of this young guy. Aubrey sat Tamarian down across from his own son, the kid that Tamarian was bullying, and asked them to talk things out. And they said that although the two boys initially spent a few minutes just kind of awkwardly sitting across from each other, and the boys looked to be about 10, 11, 12 years old. So obviously at that age, there's, you know, communication issues as it is. So they sat there kind of awkwardly looking at each other. And then Aubrey eventually was able to work them into a conversation. And now, hence, the boys are best friends. Jordan and Aubrey have been spending their days playing video games with each other at Aubrey's tattoo shop, and they are even planning a sleepover. And additionally, and I always love these parts, Aubrey has started a GoFundMe page for Tamarian's family, and in just a few days, it has raised almost $23,000 for his homeless family. So he says, things really turned out phenomenal, better than I could have ever imagined. So there we go. I mean, lovely moral to that story. Bullies are hard. And as a parent, when somebody is mean to my kid, it just sparks like a fire in me.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, have you had that problem with TJ?
Yes, we have a neighbor who is a very disturbed child. And, you know, and he can be very sweet. He has a very sweet side to him. But he has done things to TJ that I am not okay with. And it's very hard. I mean, as an adult, we kind of, there's this expectation that we will manage children in a mature, appropriate way. And I do, but I kind of have to dig deep inside to not be like, dude, step away from my kid, you know, like try to manage it in a way that helps, you know, because you know kids who are bullies are hurting inside. You know, mm-hmm. those are lessons that we've learned as adults. We can have that awareness that, you know, kids that are being mean to other kids are probably doing so because they're dealing with their own sort of pain. So as a parent, you know, hopefully you try to be mindful of that when addressing other children who are being mean to your own child. I don't know if I could or would do what Aubrey had done with his
bully.
That's
unique.
Yeah, it's really unique. But you know what? It also makes you step back and think, like, if we just handle people in the world with compassion, and that's a message that I try in every yoga class I teach. That's my message, is be compassionate, be empathetic. And, you know, and that can change the world. You know, if we're all compassionate and empathetic to each other, that can create a shift in our culture that provides a much more, a much warmer, more loving, more compassionate environment. And I think Aubrey is a beautiful example of that. So if nothing else, like, maybe we can't go to the extreme that Aubrey did, but maybe we can just realize, you know what, this kid is hurting too, and we need to approach these situations with compassion.
Yeah, I was told, you're not coming back in the house until you take care of this.
Right.
So some parents take a different approach. They think that you should defend yourself, but this Aubrey guy, wow.
Yeah, he really stepped up and took care of business, and now the boys are best friends. So, I mean, it's you couldn't ask for a better outcome. Cheers to Aubrey, and you know, thanks for the people that are able to manage these kinds of situations with that sort of compassion and empathy.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for that story. That's a great story.
My pleasure. That is this week's The Awe Factor.
We'll be right back. You're listening to The Beacon on WCPT 820 AM.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000 plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul, Computer Information Systems, and a master's in business information technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also. Going to a job interview and people look at you strange because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. The Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, folks, welcome back to The Beacon. I'm Brian Hawkins.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Yes, you are.
Hello, hello.
And, you know, I didn't think about it at the time, but this week we were visited by one of our former showmates.
Who?
Tom Persky.
He came from Arizona to visit?
Yeah.
I missed it?
Yeah, well, he may still be hanging around here somewhere, but no, he'll be in town until Tuesday. And he's at some... what do you call him? Convention or something, where he is demonstrating some products for the company that he works for in Arizona. So it was great to see him. He looks great.
Oh, I bet Arizona's treating him very well.
Oh, my God. You know, he showed me pictures of where he lives. He lives on top of a mountain in Tucson.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's wonderful.
I mean, Arizona's gorgeous.
And the pictures were gorgeous, too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, what are you going to say?
I was going to say the backdrop of Arizona was just kind of like how mountainous it is.
That's...
and the red rock. I mean, it's just like, it is splendid and it photographs beautifully.
All of that was in the picture.
Love it.
Yeah, and he was talking about how he and his wife were laughing because, you know, as they drive around Arizona, Sometimes it gets to be 40 degrees and people are all bundled up.
Yeah, I bet.
They've got on hats and all of those things.
Yeah, West Coast doesn't have a high tolerance for anything that drops below 40 degrees.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was great to see Tom.
Cool.
And those photographs, just as you described it, exactly what was in those photographs.
Yep.
And on the subject of photography, if you're a photographer, or no, a photography enthusiast, I guess that's how you say it, coming up is the 70th Chicago Lighthouse International Show of 3D Photography. So if you are an enthusiast, you're invited to attend this event. And it takes place November 3rd from 3 to 4:30 p.m. at the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, which is at 984 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago. It's sponsored by the Chicago Stereo Camera Club. And this international juried photographic exhibit represents the best 3D photographs by accepted and award-winning photographers. So that's something you want to be on hand for, I guess. Minimum donation of $7 is requested at the door, and all funds will be donated to the Chicago Lighthouse, serving blind, visually impaired, disabled, and veteran communities. And there's also another show on the 4th, and that would be at the Chicago Lighthouse North, 222 North Waukegan Road in Glenview, Illinois, from 3 to 4:30 p.m. as well. So
beautiful.
So if you love to watch or look at beautiful pictures, in this case, 3D pictures.
That sounds wonderful.
That sounds wonderful. So, of course, I guess if you're talking about 3D, you're talking about technology that's somewhat advanced.
Yes. Well, it's good for tactile, too, and touching and all that good stuff. So,
and lucky for us, we've got our very own in-house tech guru.
Yes, we do. Yes, we got Luke Scriven. Is he here this week? He's here this week, yeah?
Yes, indeed.
Is Tom going to do a guest spot on our show this week?
You know, I didn't think about it until after I said goodbye.
Oh, well, if he's here till Tuesday, maybe you can rope him into it.
Yeah, maybe I can get a hold of him, have him come back and do a segment and say hello, everyone.
That'd be great.
But in the meantime, in between time, here's Luke's laboratory. Good morning, Luke. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing good. And this weekend is the American Academy of Optometry Conference at McCormick Place. So if the listeners are feeling bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on this Saturday morning, then they could head on down there and see some different assistive technology devices, including the RevoSight, which I have talked about on this show, the new wearable from Zoomax. Mm-hmm. So take a look on the internet to find out about the conference. It's the AAO conference. And if you feel like it, you know, take a wander down there.
And it lasts until Tuesday, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. So you have got a few days to go and check that out.
Now, will you yourself be there? Did you say that?
I won't be there, actually. Unfortunately, I'm not going to make it down, but I do know a number of people who will be down there, including Tom Persky, who used to be on this show.
That's correct.
So, yeah, so he will be there with Iris Vision. That's another assistive technology company. And David Bradburn from Zoomax will be there.
That's lots of good stuff there. Mm-hmm. And until Tuesday, folks have a chance to get down there.
Indeed.
Now, what new gadget do you have to tell us about?
Today's gadget is going to be a little bit different because this is actually a surgical procedure that I'm going to be talking about today. Yeah. So there is a new surgical procedure which is going to be trialed. There was a doctor in Italy who was doing this before, but I'm not exactly, it worked for people. However, I think he might have been doing it without the correct authorizations or something like that. So there was a little bit of a controversy around it. But now the technology is being brought to the States and is going through clinical trials for FDA approval and all that kind of good stuff. And it's for something called an intracortical visual prosthesis. And that's a fancy way of saying that it's going to be a visual prosthesis which is directly linked to your brain, rather than actually going through the optic nerve or the retina or things like that. So basically the idea is that you have a small hole
drilled in your skull, which sounds kind of scary, but actually it won't be too bad. It's just going to be a small hole. And in through that hole, they're going to implant a chip onto your visual cortex. And what happens is this chip is stimulated by a pair of sunglasses that you wear with a camera on the front. And so the camera sends electrical impulses to the chip on the visual cortex, which then stimulates something called phosphenes in the brain. And the end result is hopefully to give people some vision. So that's the idea. And the main benefit to this is for people whose optic nerve doesn't work properly, like it's damaged or, you know, there's parts of it missing or whatever it might be. This bypasses the optic nerve completely, goes straight to the brain. And so it has a good possibility of application for people with damaged optic nerves.
Wow.
Yes.
Technology.
Yes,
yeah.
I know. It's getting kind of crazy. There are similar technologies. For example, people may have heard of the Argus 2, which is a retinal implant. Same kind of idea, but you have a chip which is implanted on the retina, and the camera on the glasses stimulates the chip on the retina to release electrical impulses. But for that to work, you have to have an intact optic nerve. And you have to have a retina which, you know, somewhat functions. Whereas with the intracortical visual prosthesis, you don't need any of that. You just need to have the visual cortex of the brain. The reason I wanted to talk about this today is, number one, it's kind of interesting these different routes that are being taken to help to cure vision loss.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we are actually going to be involved in doing some of the clinical trial stuff here at the Lighthouse. And so there are going to be things such as educational sessions, and those are going to be held before the clinical trials actually start. And in fact, we've already held, I believe, two of those, and there are more to come. We are also going to be doing patient outreach and recruitment for the clinical trials. We are going to establish the testing laboratory. We are going to be doing clinical evaluation and training of the subjects who have the implants. And we're going to be doing support group activities and meetings. All of those are going to be organized by the Chicago Lighthouse. So we are involved quite heavily with this, and it's going to be quite exciting. And I wanted to let people know that if they were interested in finding out more information, or they thought that they might be a viable candidate, or they might know somebody who is a viable candidate for this type of surgery, then they can call Misa Meng, who runs our research department here. And she can be reached at 312-447-3233.
And what makes a person eligible?
I think they are looking for people with no light perception in both eyes, so people who are blind, but people who have some previous visual memory. So we're talking people who have had vision but have gone blind. And the reason that they're doing that is because when they're stimulating the visual cortex, then they want to know that the person has seen things before, so they have some kind of memory of what things look like, so they can gauge the results of how well the technology is working. In the future, it might be found that it does work for people who have never seen, but at the moment they just don't know, so it's in the very early stages. So no light perception in both eyes, previously have had vision up until the age of 12, so that the visual cortex has fully developed.
Okay.
So those are the people who would be suitable. We would love to hear from anybody who has any interest.
Any idea of who brought this to the United States? Because, you know, these FDA trials can take years.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the routes that it took, but I will say that the initiative is sponsored by the National Institute of Health, something called the Brain Initiative, Chicago Lighthouse, obviously, and we're collaborating with IIT, Johns Hopkins, the University of Chicago, and the University of Texas at Dallas. So it seems like there's a lot of different threads which are all coming together to make this a reality.
Yeah, so maybe they'll have some push when it comes to the FDA to get this thing through faster.
I certainly hope so. FDA can take a while, but you know, for those people who kind of jump in early, then they would get to experience what will hopefully be beneficial results straight away. So if you do think it sounds interesting, then jumping in at the clinical trial stage, you know, could be a good idea. But you would need to kind of talk about the pros and cons, and that's where MISA would come in. Like I say, if you call 312-447-3233, then she could both tell you whether you are a viable candidate and also explain a little bit more about it.
All right. Now, moving on, who is this week's
customer of the week?
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you.
Yeah, you were totally stealing my thunder there. The customer of the week this week is a lady called Linda Palmer, who comes from La Crosse in Wisconsin. She was very keen to tell me that La Crosse is the 10th most beautiful place in the United States, as voted by, well, I'm not sure. I didn't get that information, but she did tell me it's very beautiful. It's on the Mississippi. And also, the NFB ranked it as the 5th most accessible place in the United States, which is kind of crazy because it's just a small town in Wisconsin. But there you go. So a good place for people with a visual impairment to live by the sounds of it. And she came to take a look at some wearable devices. We took a look at eSight. We took a look at New Eyes. We took a look at Iris Vision. And we found that Iris Vision worked the best for her. She had macula, or has macula, should I say. And Iris Vision worked the best for her. And she was interesting because she also does what I do, which is working with seniors to show them low vision technology. And she works for the state of Wisconsin, and she is paid by them to go to seniors' houses and help them out with different visual needs. So very cool to meet her. I was glad that Iris Vision worked for her, and I'm hoping to work with her more in the future.
Any idea of what brought her to the lighthouse all the way from Wisconsin?
Yeah. So she was actually referred to us by a rep for a company called Eschenbach. We sell some of Eschenbach's products, including optical magnifiers and electronic magnifiers. And she had been talking to this rep by the name of Stephanie. And Stephanie knows me because she is our rep as well. And so she made the connection between us. She said, hey, if you want to go check out these wearables, they have them all at the lighthouse and Luke knows all about them. So this lady decided to travel 6 hours on the train to come and see me, which was very nice. Yeah, and we also had a tornado drill while she was here, so that was kind of exciting. So, yeah, it was very nice to meet her.
And is there one more roadshow left?
There is. I wasn't sure last week whether there was going to be another roadshow. So we had one in Indiana at Merrillville. That was this week. Yes, it turns out we will have one more show to finish off the season. And I would love people to come out for this one. Because it was organized so late in the day, we didn't do our usual postcard mailing. And so I'm hoping that some people will hear this and decide to come out. It is next Tuesday. It's in conjunction with the Village of Mount Prospect's Senior Health Month. And it's being held at the Mount Prospect Public Library, 10 South Emerson Street, Mount Prospect, Illinois, 60056. You can also call me, of course, if you have any questions, 312-997-3649.
All right, Luke, always a pleasure. Great, interesting stuff today.
Excellent.
And next week we'll have more. Hopefully we'll have more.
I hope so.
We are headed out for the day. Halloween is this week. Do you have any Halloween plans?
Absolutely. I'm going to dress up as a syndicated talk show host.
That sounds fabulous. I might do the same, actually. I'm still looking for a costume, so we'll see. My daughter is going to a Halloween party, and
is she
going to
be a princess?
She's 12, first of all. She's 12, and she's such a tomboy. So, no, she and her girlfriends are going as, like, Alvin and the Chipmunks, which it sounds very cute, so I'll go with it. As she says, the party's going to be Gucci. Apparently, that's...
And not Fiorucci?
Oh, it's going to be Gucci. So cheers to that. And then, my son is going as a Lego character, a Ninjago Lego character. So last year I made his costume. This year I just bought it. I was very proud of myself last year with his homemade costume. I'm not a crafty person. I didn't sew it or anything. I just bought the individual pieces and put it together as a costume. You know, did the whole. He went as from Moana, the turtle, not the turtle, the crab in the ocean. I can't remember the crab's name now, but he's the one that likes all the treasures. So I bought all these components to this costume, put it together, wove it, made the jewel, the shiny shell on the crab. And I was very proud of myself. But then in his little Halloween parade at school, it just looks so sad compared to all the store-bought Halloween costumes. And I am not a crafty person. So it was I don't sew elaborate costumes or anything. I just kind of put it together to the best of my ability, and it was a sad little costume.
Was it a costume contest, was it?
No, it was just, they were in kindergarten, so they just did a little walk around the playground for the parents to see all the kids in their costumes. So this year I just gave in. He wanted to be this Lego character on Ninjago, so I just bought the costume this year. Mm. So I sold out. My mom always made our costumes, but she was crafty. She would hand sew everything, and I did not inherit that gift from her. So,
well, there's a television commercial where a mom is trying to sew together a costume for a child. She can't do it, so she has to reach out to someone else for help. So
it's an epidemic, yeah. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't live in a world today where we know how to sew, which is kind of I really envy people that can knit or crochet or sew. It's very inspiring to watch people have that talent. But alas, I have other things in my life that take
precedence.
Yeah, you have
a busy schedule.
Yeah, busy schedule. So anyway, speaking of busy schedules, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Many thanks to you, Brian Hawkins, and you and your little makeshift radio station that you had to put together in an emergency, last minute. So it's working. We got it together with duct tape and glue, but somehow it's getting the job done.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure as always. And many thanks as well to Dr. Janet Slick. And I think that's going to do it for us. So it is Halloween week. Have a safe and warm and happy week. I guess next week we're still going to be on daylight next Saturday or Sunday at 2 a.m. is when we switch the time. So,
well, not only do I not know when Thanksgiving is, I don't know when we switch times.
Well, we don't need to know because our phones automatically adjust to the time now. Everything's right. Done for us. Our brains are all melting away because we never have to think about a thing anymore. So, but next week, we'll still be on this time, and then 2 a.m. that next morning is when the clocks shift back. So we'll be dark at 4:30. So that's something to look forward to. Always a good time. So that's it, my friends. Have a wonderful week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Stay warm. And we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.